Hello, BBC. In this family gathering programme, we introduce the New Zealand branch of the Spence family. Or at least those of them have been able to get to the microphone. They are Mrs. Claire Wallace, who was formerly a Miss Spence, and her nephew, Charles Spence. This is their programme, and we're going to hand it over to them without any further delay. Mrs. Wallace.
Hello, Spence family, and all my friends in the north of England. It's a great thrill for me to be able to speak to you again. Hello, Alice, and all my family in Bradford. My love to you. This is nearly as good as a family party with a ham tea, eh? It's too bad we can't hear your side of it.
That goes for me, too. Hello, lads and lassies. Do you still sit round the piano and sing the Purple Garter?
I wonder. So much has happened since I was over there in 1938, when Cousin Betty and I stood in Downing Street and watched Mr. Chamberlain go into number 10 after he returned from Munich. I didn't know what was in store for us. Perhaps it's just as well. I was glad to get back to New Zealand in 1939, and of course glad to get back to Bill and the boys. You know, I found that my 18 years of living in New Zealand has changed my outlook into England quite a lot. It was still home to me, still the old country, but I couldn't have stayed there permanently. But I loved visiting it. It was lovely to be able to visit Wensley and West Witten and Leyburn and the countryside where Dad was born, and where the Spence family has such strong roots. I couldn't help making comparisons between that compact, neat, old-fashioned Yorkshire Dales and my wide-sweeping Hauraki Plains here in New Zealand, which would look so raw and deserted to you at home. You'd be amazed to learn how rich and productive they are, though. I remember telling Uncle Simon about our milking machines and the number of cows we want, but he just shook his dear old head as much as to say, that's one of their down-under fairy tales.
He would too, if he could have seen the enormous cheese factory at Waitakere, where I worked before I went into the army. I'm sure he wouldn't have believed his eyes. And if he could have told him that it covers an area of half an acre, and no less than 14,000 gallons of milk goes through daily, coming from 5,000 cows, this makes 160 80-pound cheeses a day, which equals 6 tons. I was one of the staff of 20 before joining up.
But don't run away with the idea that because we live in the country that we're a farming family. We are not. Not cow cockies, as they call them out here. Bill, my husband, is a builder, and he's away in Auckland building just now. It's funny that he should be building houses for other people to live in when we need one so very badly ourselves. The housing position is as acute out here as it seems to be with you, though the building trade is going eyes out, and the government are building thousands of wonderful houses every year. Perhaps we'll be lucky enough to get one of them and all be together again before very long.
Don't get too domestic, Auntie. Tell them what you do with your spare time.
Well, I live an entirely different life from the one I'd live if I were in the country at home. I live just outside Waitakere on the Hauraki Plains. It's a typical small country township. I expect the name is a bit of a twister to you folk. It means owl flying over the water. But there's nothing romantic or poetic about the place itself.
Definitely not.
The township is built on the edge of a great drain, almost a canal, one of a network which are draining the great swamp and turning it into some of the best farming land in New Zealand. Once there was heavy bush all round there, and then it was swamped, and the bush was buried. That was centuries ago, of course. As the land is drained and the peat sinks, huge stumps and tree trunks find their way to the surface. There have been cases where they've come up under the houses and forced their way through the floor. Anyway, to get back to the township. There's one big store, two small ones, butcher, post office, and two tiny little banks, which open once a fortnight on cattle sale days. There's the cattle yards, too. Add half a dozen houses, and that's Waitakere. Just a cluster of ugly wooden buildings, not 50 years old. But in another 50 years it will probably be a flourishing modern town.
You people at home couldn't imagine it. We have some towns which have mellowed during our one century of settlement. But Waitak isn't one of them by any means. Anyway, Auntie, you're getting away from your daily round.
So I am. Well, as Bill is away so much, and Charles is now working in Auckland, I'm alone a good deal. To fill in part of my time, I act as local reporter for the Hauraki Plains Gazette. I've done a good bit of relief teaching in our local schools, and I've just started on a new venture as home science instructor at the Ngātia District High School. That's 10 miles away from home, so I go in the school bus, which picks country children for miles around. Besides the classes at the high school, I have primary school children from all the schools within a radius of 15 miles. In my spare time, what little I have, I fit in Women's Institute work. We have a strong institute movement in this country, and there is quite a flourishing one at Waitakere. Our social life largely centres around that. I've taken my turn too as secretary and president.
My turn now? Of course, I'm fonder of the country than Blossom is.
Who are you blossoming?
You, Auntie. Don't interrupt. As I was going to say, I like the country life and I enjoy a country dance more than any of these city cabarets. We men pay 1 and 6, and the ladies bring along a basket of home cooking. And by gosh, it's good. Nobody gets there till 9 o'clock, but we keep going till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Pictures are once a week. I worked on farms here and farms in England, and they're two totally different lives. We winter our cattle in the open out here. Our paddocks, or fields as they call them at home, average from 10 to 15 acres each. An average farm around the Hauraki Plains would be about 150 acres, running anything from 80 to 100 cows. We don't go in for much haymaking in our part of the country. We've gone in for growing pampas grass, which has taken the place of other winter feeds. I wish I had the time to tell you the differences in other aspects of farming practice here. Uncle Sam would have been more amazed than ever.
I wish Roy were in on this. He'd love it.
He would, and Dad too. I don't think he's well enough.
Anyway, they're in Christchurch, and there are a number of other reasons why they can't take part.
Roy and I'd have arguments if he were here.
You're always arguing. If it isn't about your schools, it's Scots Guards versus Royal New Zealand Artillery.
Well, Roy always say I'm a pommy, because I've been to an English school and served in an English regiment.
The term pommy doesn't mean a thing to the people at home, you know.
Well, it would if they were out here, because they're called pommies or homies, as like as not. It doesn't mean anything. Anyhow, Roy used to swank a lot about his school days and the opportunities they got for open-air life, and swimming and camping.
Roy was probably right. Even in the heart of the city, they go in for those sort of things out here.
All right, I'll give him that in, but he hasn't the sense to appreciate that our spit and polish in the Guards really meant something. I've got nothing against the Kiwis. Anyway, I was one myself, part of the time. But they haven't got the background the British regiments have. Roy's still in the army, on the permanent staff. There'll be a three-pipper any day now. I know he'd give his back teeth to have the mice here of the pageantry. Stripping the colours, changing the guard, the coronation, the opening of Parliament, and all that sort of thing.
It's funny the way things turn out. You and Roy both intended chucking the army and going into business together. Now Roy's more keen on his army career than ever, and you're going into business with your uncle instead.
That suits me. Bill's a good scout, and a jolly good builder too. I'll probably learn more with him.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid our time's up.
Is it? Why, we haven't really started on the things we meant to tell them at home. Well, goodbye, Spence family. Goodbye, North of England. It's been lovely to speak to you again.
That goes for me too. We're all New Zealanders now, but our part of our hearts is still with you in England. Cheerio.
Thank you very much, Spence family from New Zealand. And that ends another family gathering programme from New Zealand, so we're signing off. Goodbye, BBC.